your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Woohoo! Rick Moore in the studio, rocking you out on Sunday morning. That's right. Wake up, because it is the wake-up call. Especially to those folks in Harrisonburg's 95.1, where have you been? Dial us up later on in the program today, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. This is one of those programs that everybody, regardless of where you live, can ask a question or make a comment. But let me thank Solar Advantage for allowing us to even be on the air today. You can do your part in the green revolution and cut utility bills with a Velux solar hot water system in your home. The professionals at Solar Advantage can show you how at 4282 Ivy Road in Ivy, Monday through Friday, 8 till 5, and Saturdays, 8 till noon. But they are, of course, listening to the wake-up call on Sundays when they take the day off. You can also find them on the web at solaradvantageva.com. Big thanks to Rusty for playing some good tunes and letting us start the day right after him. Let me introduce my guests for the day. Ladies first, of course. Dr. Carter Hopkins, Director of UVA's Alumni Career Services. Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot closer than that.
Good morning.
There you go. Reduce that personal aura. And Tom Fitch, Assistant Dean, Commerce Career Services at the McIntyre School.
Good morning.
See, there you go. Get just that close, Dr. Hopkins. Today's show is going to be about the job search. We're going to talk about the recent graduates looking for their career, whether you're high school or college. And we're going to talk about those who are trying to get back into the market, whether they've been recently laid off or fired or just choosing to take a different career path. So this applies to everyone, because whether or not this is you personally, I guarantee that it's a friend or a family member. So shout out, tell them to turn on WNRN no matter where they are. Richmond's 103.1, Lynchburg's 89.9, the Lexington, Harrisonburg folks, and our local friends in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area. All right, let's just start with a question that covers everyone. I want to know if the new graduates out there, seems to me that they are, as they start the hunt, they are probably receiving career tips from the older family members, or the older family members are giving the career tips. And I'm curious how much that might have changed. Those tips that you got, that you learned 20 years ago that are no longer accurate or that still play well even today. So the ones that you might be getting and listening to, that you should keep or discard, and those who are giving that career advice and information, the ones that they just don't play well anymore. It's not true with today's economy, or that are always good and will always be good. Dr. Hopkins, let's start with you.
I think the first thing would be if someone is telling you to start out on a linear career path, you know, choose a path and stay there, it isn't going to happen anymore. There are very few people who are beginning their careers right now who will have a straight linear path within one career field for the rest of their lives. I think the Bureau of Labor Statistics is now quoting 8 to 10 job changes and 3 to 4 career changes for someone who's graduating this year. So if you're talking to someone who's telling you you really need to pick a career and stay in it, that's probably not the most relevant piece of advice.
But are you talking about becoming a, I don't know, pick a job, becoming a car mechanic? Rusty mm-hmm. is a car mechanic. Becoming a car mechanic, and you won't be a car mechanic when you are 65 and ready to retire, or you know, when you say changing jobs, are you talking about working for different companies while still a car mechanic, or are you talking about being a car mechanic for 10 years and 10 years after that becoming another, you know, another job that may or may not be even related to the car mechanic job?
Both. You're going to change jobs necessarily. That's
so
there,
there's no longer the get the gold watch.
That's right. But there's there's a retooling piece. I mean, even if you want to stay in the same field, you're going to have to retool about every 7 to 10 years.
You say retool. Tell me
change
what that
is. Change skills. For instance, look at the car mechanics 20 years ago. Much more mechanical, much more working with their hands. Now it's much more electronic and understanding computers.
Now, Tom, your job is more, Dr. Carter is alumni career services. So that, to me, that says to me that's helping someone who's already graduated and probably has already had at least one career profession, correct?
Correct.
And so your job tells me that you're helping those who are beginning their career search. Is that true?
It is. Our primary customer might be a student in the McIntyre School who is a fourth-year student getting ready to graduate and looking at the job market, looking at options, looking at how to remarket themselves from an internship potentially into a full-time job. We also help our students who are looking for internships to build that base of good transferable skills no matter what they want to go into. And a number of our students do choose to go right into a graduate program. So we're really looking at a variety of first destinations for our students coming out of the McIntyre School.
Are internships still what they used to be, where you took an internship with a company because you were not only testing out the career, but testing out that company or a very similar company? Or now is it just a way to build up the resume, to show that you interned at a variety of places for 3 years, or you interned at the same place for 3 years because they liked you so much they invited you back? Or is it just, hey, I need some money for the summer?
Well, it's really a combination of all that. And we use the term internship loosely because we look at a summer experience as maybe not what others would label an internship. An internship, ultimately, you hope there's some learning component to it. So if a summer job means that you're lifeguarding and you're making money, think about those good transferable skills that you're gaining from good communication, good organizational skills, good people skills that you're going to use if you decide to go on and be a banker right after you graduate. And you know, it's kind of hard to sometimes say, well, I was a lifeguard, now I'm going to be a banker. How do I use those skills? And you can really use some of those same skills, and you have to market yourself to that potential employer and say, you know, I've worked with difficult people. I've learned how to manage my time. I know what it's like to be professional. And then you're malleable. You're looking at being trained into what that bank, for example, needs you to be.
And one of the things that employers are looking for is people who have tried to test different career fields and have succeeded in certain ways. I think employers now are using internships as an excellent way of recruiting good candidates into their training programs and as their entry-level employees. So you can position yourself with a company, but you can also position yourself as someone with already having gained these skills who will be somewhat first-day productive, even though you've just graduated from college.
Talking about the job search, whether you're new to the market because you're a recent high school or college graduate, or whether you're refreshing yourself in the market out of need for a new job or choosing a different career path. Dr. Carter Hopkins from UVA's Alumni Career Services, Tom Fitch, Assistant Dean at the Commerce McIntyre School with Career Work. Tom, the recent graduates, give me some numbers about graduates not immediately finding work, because I would assume, or certainly state my opinion, that in the past it seemed that those folks not immediately finding work were either unqualified or incredibly picky. that certainly would have been the stereotype for many onto that person. But how many people now are not able to immediately find work at the proper level? Because I think there are many who are what's called underemployed, correct? Is that the proper phrase?
Yeah, you can. That term is being used a lot. And if you look at national figures, it's going to vary depending on what program they're coming out of. For example, from the McIntyre School, fewer than 20% of our students continue to look for employment. And there's a combination of reasons for that. Some of our students are really being particular about a location. They might want to be in a particular city. So that will create barriers for them. Others really look at this as a chance to get that good career move. So it may not be a job. It may be the first step in their career. And I think across the board, we're not painting a realistic picture if we make it seem like the job market is good. Everybody's finding the type of job they want. It is more difficult. Employers are being picky. They have the opportunity to be picky. They're looking at budgets. They're looking at their hiring figures. They're looking at their contracts. They're looking at their customers, what their needs are going to be.
But have you noticed, I think for the average person reading the paper, listening to the radio, talking with friends, is that more people would be having trouble finding a job right out of college or high school.
Oh, absolutely. There's no denying that.
Is that, what's the number on that? Are we talking about 20%? Are we talking, and I realize that you probably have the best numbers from particularly at the McIntyre School.
Right.
But, 5 years ago, what percentage of McIntyre graduate took 6 months to find a job or a year to find a job versus that number now who's having to move back home and live in the parents' basement kind
yeah.
of thing?
Yeah, and again, it is going to vary on the background. It could range anywhere from 20 to probably upward to 30-40%.
Really?
Depending on the program they're coming out of, the school they're coming out of, the location they're graduating from, and where they ultimately want to be. And part of our job is to measure placement, whether it be a career move or a first job that's going to help them build those good transferable skills, especially at a time like this where the market may not be as strong. And if it may not be in their mind what they thought they would do 4 years ago before they graduated, it may not be the ultimate job. We're really hearing some creative ways of our current students, even in the McIntyre School, getting good work experience to build their resume, to build on those skills. Because if you think about it, the students who are graduating, whether it be from McIntyre, UVA, other schools, from high school, what an amazing learning experience they're going to have if and when we go through this cycle again, hopefully not in a long time, but the job market's going to do this again. And to be able to prove your ability to reinvent yourself, to identify those skills that are most critical to a variety of employers and really cast a much wider net, they're going to be in a great position compared to their peers who may have graduated 3 years ago where they had the pick of the job market and they were able to move right into what they wanted to do.
But did I hear that properly, or am I picking on the negative part here, that 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 high school or college graduates are not finding the job that they spent the last 2 to 4 years training for educationally?
Well, when you say training for that, conjures up a different idea than what I might have. If someone is coming out with an undergraduate degree, what is that training them for? What is that, that doesn't automatically guarantee any of us the ultimate job we wanted when we went to school. You're continuing to learn. You're continuing to get that experience. So it's an entry level job, and we have to sometimes gently remind our students of that. And again, I would do that for any student, whether it be high school or college, that for most undergraduate programs, you're coming out into an entry-level job. You're continuing to learn to work toward that ultimate career move.
Tom Fitch from UVA's McIntyre School of Career Services, Dr. Carter Hopkins from UVA's Alumni Career Services. Dr. Hopkins, has there been a, are there parts of the career workforce that are not experiencing these problems, or that as an alumni person who I assume, and Tom, don't take this the wrong way, but I would think that you have a focus on the business market. But Dr. Hopkins, I would think that people come to you from all parts of the workforce looking to possibly move into all parts of the workforce, whether or not that's a change or just a different job in maybe a different area. Are there parts of the workforce where you don't, you're not seeing these problems?
No. In one word, no. I think it's, in 36 years of doing this kind of counseling, I've never seen it quite this universal. I don't think there, I have not met a field that hasn't been affected by it.
Are there fields that are affected less, or that more alums that you are seeing are heading off towards? I mean, we all hear about the future for the job workforce is the green, you know, green things. Sorry, that didn't come out very astutely.
That's all right.
But, you know, whether it's green energy or, you know, green manufacturing or green home building, everything, if it has green in front of it, then that's the place to go. That's where you're going to be hired. That's the education steps you need to take.
And that's, it's typical when you look at educational programs over, you know, for over periods of time, you, they go toward what the country or what the world is saying it needs. So right now, yes, green is the buzzword, and you will see people going into engineering who may not have thought about going into engineering necessarily. But there comes a time where there's a saturation point for that. We haven't really gotten to the point in this country where there are enough green jobs to say to people, okay, you need to gear up to do this because you can get a job if you do this. I'd say healthcare probably has less of a bump in it right now, but there's a caveat to that because hospitals are trying to save money, so they're cutting back on staff. So it there's not a field that's really not experiencing some kind of belt tightening.
And at some point, all the baby boomers will pass away, and so then we'll have another, you know, we'll have another hole in the market where there'll be too many people there.
That's right.
11:18 here on the Wake Up Call. Dr. Carter Hopkins and Tom Fitch, both related to career services at the University of Virginia. Dial us up, ask your question, make your comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Michael Strickland is back helping us out today, and also doing a little dog sitting out there as Lazarus is here with me in the studio. Let me give you the markets of Tiger Fuel weather forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny this morning, but mostly cloudy in the afternoon. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s. Mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, lows in the lower 60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 85 to 95, depending on where you are right now in the valley. Looking pretty nice in most places. 77 in the valley, 80 in Lynchburg, 79 in Richmond, 76 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And a shout out to the folks at Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and online, brgtshirts.com. Back with Tom Fitch and Dr. Carter Hopkins. To both of you, has there been a shift in the areas of the country where the graduates are looking for success? Tom, being at the McIntyre School, the business school, you would think that New York City, I mean, that immediately comes to mind. True or not, I think that's another stereotype. And has that thought process having to have been changed, different areas for relocation, and Dr. Hopkins, people coming to you from one part of the country or various parts of the United States and having to focus on different parts than they might have before?
If you look at the current students or the students who just graduated from McIntyre, we continue to see the majority of our students wanting to remain on the East Coast. And that's pretty consistent with what we see on an annual basis, primarily because the majority of our students are from the East Coast. And yes, New York is where, if you want to go into the finance industry, where you're ultimately going to end up at some point, if you want to go into investment banking, for example, or DC or Atlanta or Richmond. And we continue to see students wanting to go there. We try to really branch out and help our students understand their opportunities in a wide variety of places throughout the country. And if there are lots of articles about key cities and which cities are seeing the most growth, what cities are seeing a decrease in the number of jobs. But our students, and again, I'm speaking primarily about the McIntyre student right now, are going to want to focus on what they think is the right first career move. So they're going to really focus on those key cities on the East Coast. But what you find is if you talk to a variety of schools, you'll see that the majority of students in many cases will want to remain close to where that school is or where home might be, where they're coming from, to go back there before they make that big move to a key city.
With alumni, it depends on a lot of different issues. I've been seeing a lot more alumni from New York City, obviously because of the financial problems. Those people who've been in finance for several years, and particularly those who've been in finance for less than 5 years, have really taken a hit. So to get some help, when I talk to them, we talk in terms of maybe not Manhattan now. You've already had the Manhattan experience. Let's try the Charlotte. Let's try the Atlanta. Let's try Houston, let's try Seattle, depending on where their support systems are, because it's very difficult to move to a place where you don't have a support system. Luckily, the university has over 100 alumni clubs all over the world. So if there's an alumni presence in a city, that helps them have a feeling of family if they're looking. But when I'm dealing with people in their 50s who have children in high school and don't want to take them out of school because they're almost finished and they're ready to go to college, it's very tough to talk about relocation. So I usually have to work with those people in terms of where they are and looking at opportunities in that place.
Let's make sure that I include some of the high school graduates as well here. Are there particular areas in Virginia? Because it seems like relocation obviously has its expanse depending on where you're starting. If you've left New Jersey or Pennsylvania to come to the University of Virginia, well, now you've expanded your possibilities up and down the East Coast, at least from Virginia as your southern tip to that area as your northern tip. But if you're a recent high school graduate, you know, the relocation circle may only go within a couple hours of where you're listening from today. And that's as far your support system, I believe, was a phrase you used. And that may be as distant from your support system as you may choose to go. So are there particular areas in the state of Virginia that you've noted that may have lesser problems in the economy in terms of hiring for whatever, you know, career choice you may have made?
Well, one of the first things that I would look at, because of the Northern Virginia area being so close to D.C., there are a number of government opportunities available, and I would really focus on that Northern Virginia. If you know Virginia is where they'd like to remain, branch out enough that D.C. right outside the city in Northern Virginia might be some place to consider. Also look at cities where there's going to be some manufacturing that may not be hit quite as hard. And then beyond that, looking at, as what Carter mentioned earlier, the healthcare industry, where are some of the major players in the healthcare industry? Where are some of the bigger hospitals that could justify some of the hiring and training programs for students coming out of a high school at this point? And that would be one focus that I would consider immediately.
The other thing I would look at, because we are blessed to have a wonderful community college system in the Commonwealth, is if there are certain things that they believe they want to go ahead and try to do, find the community colleges that have those programs and try to get work located near those community colleges, because then they can go to school at night and enhance their skills while they're working. And that is, I mean, we are blessed to have that community college system.
Dr. Carter Hopkins and Tom Fitch here in the studio today as we talk about the job search. And whether you're a recent graduate or someone who's choosing, or by whoever's made that choice for you, to look elsewhere, new job, new city, new career possibilities, dial us up, 979-0919. Don't forget, you can also send us your instant message question, wnrnstudio@aol.com. And that's where this question comes from. And I guess it would, Dr. Hopkins, we're going to start with you on this one. Is has there been a larger number of entrepreneurs versus job seekers in the economy?
It's interesting. I don't think people think about it. It seems counterintuitive, but there are more and more people considering starting their own businesses now. I think there was a poll out not long ago about entrepreneurship and small business growth. And of course, it's being underwritten in a lot of ways by local government and federal government, because that's the way a lot of these green things are going to happen. But there are a lot of people considering starting their own businesses now. It's not a bad time if you have the capital to do it, and you have a service that's needed, and you have a little risk taking in you. I think it's growing. I think it's going to be encouraged.
I know that Charlottesville has, and of course, is it SCORE? Is that the name of the organization?
Yes, the retired executives.
They are not University of Virginia related.
Not necessarily, no.
Although I know that there are a variety of people participating, mm-hmm. the retired executives who have university relations or are alums. Tom and Dr. Hopkins, do either of you have that connection, either with SCORE itself or in terms of having former graduates or current, graduates who are currently in the workforce out there to help those who are graduating from the McIntyre School or who are visiting you at the alumni services?
Well, for our students at the McIntyre School, if they're looking to get that mentoring, that advice from peers, from alumni who may be in their own business, may have started their own business, may be successful or not in their own business, and getting good sage advice, we have, through Carter's office and through Alumni Association, a fantastic opportunity for our students to network with alums to really get some good advice. And also, they're fortunate enough to have a fantastic faculty at the McIntyre School and at UVA as a whole to help bring in key players in the classroom to talk about some of the dynamics around starting a business. What are some of the key elements you need to consider? But as Carter mentioned earlier, having that capital, having that opportunity, sometimes it even goes beyond the financial. Yeah, what a great chance if you're not risk adverse, if you're looking at starting something that you really want to do. This is an excellent time to do it. If you can identify a need, whether it be in the immediate community or someplace where you'd like to end up. So there are lots of good professionals out there who want to help see others succeed. We're constantly recommending that our students network, make good connections, find mentors, get the advice they need to be successful, whether it be in an entrepreneurial opportunity or in another job.
Tom referred to our University Career Assistance Network. We're lucky. We have over 23,000 alums who volunteered to give career advice, and we encourage people to take advantage of that. It's like a wonderful asset for us to have.
What's the percentage of people offering advice versus the people asking for it?
oh, it's grown by leaps and bounds. I can't give you a percentage, but we're the hits on that website alone are usually around 12,000 a month. People asking questions, people going back and forth with each other, people trying to figure out directions, or people referring people to someone else because they have even more expertise in that particular field. But I wanted to get back to a resource for everyone, which is SCORE. But the other thing is, in most Virginia cities and in most cities themselves, the Chamber of Commerce usually has an economic incubator. And that's a wonderful place for people who are entrepreneurial in spirit to sort of identify themselves to others of like interest and like risk-taking adventure. So it isn't just what we're talking about today. Yes, UCAN is only for UVA alums, but there are other opportunities for everyone out there to network. And to me, in this job market, networking is the name of the game.
Tom Fitch and Dr. Carter Hopkins, both from various parts of University of Virginia and Career Services. As we talk about job search today, whether you're a high school graduate, a college graduate, an alumna who's currently looking for help with career choices, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks, WNRN Studio at AOL.com. The word networking came up. I've had this question, this sort of party conversation goes on about the right and wrong ways to network. When are you helping yourself? When are you being a pain? So let's talk about ways to do it right and ways to do it wrong.
Well, one caveat would be when you're networking, don't ask for a job. What you're doing is you're asking for advice. And if you're asking for advice, everyone can give you that. But when you ask someone for a job, they feel like they can't help you. And so they feel paralyzed and they feel like they're at a disadvantage. So you put the one person who could really help you at that moment feeling at a disadvantage, and that's not what you want to do. You want to just ask for advice. If I'm going to make this particular kind of career move, or I need to find this kind of position, who should I talk to? What organization should I be looking at in this particular area? You know, can you give me some advice about that? Much less threatening.
When you say asking for advice, do you mean, oh, hi, Dr. Hopkins, by the way, I'm looking for a job. Do you have one you can offer me? Or is that the same as saying, hi, Dr. Hopkins, by the way, if you know anybody who's looking to hire a poor radio talk show guy, let me know. What is there a difference between the two?
There's a big difference, but there's also a better nuance, and that would be to say more specifically the kinds of things. After you've gotten into a conversation, usually one of the first questions you ask in a conversation is, what do you do? You know, and so if you find out this person does something that you're interested in, ask them about how they got into it. Ask them about what kinds of skills are required for that position. Ask them about entry-level positions, if that's where you are in your job search. And then ask, who should I be talking to in this particular job market if I wanted to find an entry-level position where I could use these specific skills? Be as specific as you possibly can about what your strengths are. But in terms of advice, not where who has a job.
One of the biggest issues we have to deal with, you have to think about the place a student might be compared to an alum who has been networking potentially for years. And one dilemma we have with our current students who might be a 19-year-old, a 20, 21-year-old, why do they want to talk to me? Why should I bother them? Why should I take their time? And this really goes to our recent grads and a high school student. We all love to talk about ourselves, as Carter mentioned. If you get a call and say, I'd love to just spend a half hour to talk to you about your current job and how you got it and what advice you might have, that's an informational interview. It never in that interview should it come up that you're begging them for a job. But as Carter mentioned, it's more about where are the jobs? What resources should you be using? How marketable might they be? What future do they see for the current industry they're considering? Those are all good key questions And secondarily, you never know when somebody might have a professional peer who is looking to hire. And because the jobs are in the hidden job market there, you know, 80-85% of jobs come through the hidden job market, you're going to want to be known as somebody who is out there learning as much as you can about what's going on in the industry. And so you might be recommended that way versus the old-fashioned looking in the classifieds or following up on a job posting where hundreds and thousands of people might be doing the same thing.
Tom Fitch and Dr. Carter Hopkins here on the Wake Up Call today as we talk about the job search, both related to the University of Virginia and Career Services. WNRN Studio at AOL.com. I've got something there, but I want to tie this together. The question that's come up is, must you participate in Facebook and Twitter? And I want to start that off with, are there different methods for recent graduates looking for a job versus older folks looking for a job?
Well, it goes back to your original question when we first started the show. It was the tips that you're getting from family and friends. And that was the one thing that came to my mind, that the major difference is technology and the benefit of technology now, where keeping your pulse on what's going on, knowing what's going on, and by using resources like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, there's no denying it. Do you have to have the most up-to-date profile on Facebook? Absolutely not. We really try to differentiate Facebook, for example, as a social resource versus something like LinkedIn, which primarily is used for professional networking. And I advise all of my students, whether they have a job or not, if they're looking, the first question I'll ask them is if they have a LinkedIn account. LinkedIn is just another great way to build on that network, that professional network. And that would go for anyone, whether it's a recent grad or someone who is seasoned and looking for a change.
To explain LinkedIn a little more, because I think many people know what Facebook is, and Twitter has been in the news enough for the last 6 months to a year that even if you're not sure how it works or what it's about, you have a concept of it.
Right.
But LinkedIn, I think, has a much lower profile at this point.
Well, I would say it might with certain people, but if you go to LinkedIn,
all right, it does with me.
Okay. All right, we'll use you as an example. LinkedIn is a great way to create a profile just as you would on a resume. In fact, LinkedIn is designed in such a way that you could push a button and it creates a resume for you based on the profile information you provide. It gets out there. For example, on my LinkedIn account, I have close to 200 people that I'm linked in with. Those are professionals that I'm following, they don't tell me what they had for lunch today. They don't tell me what they're going to do this evening when they leave. But more importantly, what are some of the new, what are they involved in business? What are they, if they were promoted, might that be? Where did they go to school? What connections might we have? What connections do they have who could potentially benefit me? It's also a great way to join a variety of groups. For example, I'm a member of 20 different groups, so I get 20 different email versions of updates on a regular basis of what's going on, relevant articles, relevant information that's going to help me if I'm looking for a student who might be wanting to go into PR. They're great groups out there made up of McIntyre alums, made up of UVA alums, made up of professionals in the Charlottesville area. And you can say the same thing for wherever you'd like to be, whatever industry you're considering. That's technology. And if you're not keeping up with technology, depending on what you want to go into, it might be a detriment to you with your potential employer if you're not up on what's going on and how to market yourself. How are you going to market a product or a service?
I was going to say LinkedIn is a wonderful opportunity to market yourself. You can not only post your resume, but you can post recommendations from other people you have worked with in terms of your quality of work and your performance level. And employers, HR people in particular, are searching LinkedIn all the time in terms of, if this is a candidate for this particular position, what's on LinkedIn about this person? What is it, what are people in their field saying about them?
Who are they hanging out with?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's
so,
their posse?
So much better than Facebook, which, of course, we always warn our students, please clean up your Facebook account before you go into the job market. But LinkedIn is just it's a great benefit to those people who are looking for jobs, but also for those professionals who are looking to fill jobs.
And I would go back to Twitter as well. I will admit I'm a Twitter-holic. I tweet on a regular basis. And I'm amazed at the number of actual job opportunities that are being shared on Twitter, depending on, you know, and if you're familiar with Twitter and using the hash marks and using keywords and finding what's out there. And it spans the industries. It is not limited to technology or business necessarily, but Twitter is growing on a regular basis. And again, you've got to weed out the, I had Cheerios for breakfast, but more importantly, what are some of the key articles? What are some of the benefits of knowing these professionals on Twitter that might help you and show that you're on the cutting edge?
One of the benefits of Twitter, too, is to make you sit and distill what you say about yourself specifically in terms of what you're looking for. You have 140 characters to work with. So you have to be very, very thoughtful about how you use that in terms of marketing yourself. And it does make you cut to the chase and get to the lowest common denominator. These are my strengths. This is what I do well. And that helps you as well as the people who are looking for someone.
I've found that I can tell who is using Twitter by how the emails come in. Now, there's a complete distinction between who is and who isn't. 11:42 here on the wake-up call. Dr. Carter Hopkins and Tom Fitch here talking about the job search for anybody out there.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, with his long hair and speak softly style, could local radio host and former city councilor Rob Schilling be positioned to become a national voice of the new conservative movement? The Hook takes a look. The locksmith tells tales that will have you double-checking your deadbolt. And is it true there's finally a market for the downtown area? Go buy your groceries. The Hook, now playing. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for being with us today, encouraging you to discover the outdoor adventures right on your doorstep at area, state, and national parks this summer. The staff at your local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies, maps, guides, and even suggestions for excursions. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen and on West Broad Street and the Chesterfield Town Center in Richmond. And the man just walked in the door, Drew Thompson with Les Temps Purdue. Beginning at noon, he's going to be bringing you the best of college alternative and underground scenes from the 80s and 90s. And you might even hear some Michael Jackson, I believe, I've seen. Early efforts of some of today's biggest acts and cult classics. Les Temps Purdue at noon, only on WNRN. All right, 979-0919 if you want to call up. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We seem to be getting the WNRN studio stuff in today. Here's our resume question. A resume still used? And I think that I'm going to interpret that question. A resume still used in the same manner with the same importance, the paper resume?
Not so much paper. Online, definitely. Most companies will ask you to submit a resume online. So if you have found a job description on a website and you want to apply, they would much prefer that you apply through that website and download your resume that way. Sometimes they won't let you download as a Word document, so it comes through as just text formatting. There are many times then when I will tell especially older senior type workers, to follow that up with a hard copy of their resume and a cover letter, because you can then control how you look on that piece of paper. The computer is not controlling it. But it depends on the level of expertise. It depends on the job that you're looking for. But most jobs now you can apply for online.
Yeah, there's no question that resumes are still important. They're being used across the board. And as Carter mentioned, it might be an electronic version. But, for example, our students are prepared for job fairs. It's what they have in their hand. It's a way to really force them to drill down onto one piece of paper their skills, to be succinct, to be able to take all the activities they've been involved in and help a potential employer find some theme and what transferable skills are going to come through on that resume. We're encountering, because of a variety of laws nowadays, for people, whether it be current students or alums, professionals, seasoned professionals, some job fairs may not actually take a hard copy because of laws where you may have to go online and apply, as Carter mentioned. But that does not take away from the importance of having the whether you want to call it the old-fashioned piece of paper, resume, succinct marketing tool that you're going to use. If you're going to be going to a networking event that has a theme for professional networking, it may not be a bad idea to have a couple of copies of resumes with you. By no means am I encouraging people to have it in their back pocket and pull it out at a cocktail party, but it is a good way. It forces you to create that 30-second ad, to create a marketing tool that you're going to use, whether it be verbally or written, to help sell yourself to a potential employer.
And I'd like to add, if especially for younger listeners, when you're just starting out and you have that resume, please keep a master copy of your resume at all times. And every time you do something, every time you have a promotion, every time you win an award, every time you do a piece of volunteer work, make sure that you continue to add that to your master copy of your resume, because you may be able to use some of those bits and pieces of information at different points in your career. And it's a lot easier to be able to go and look at it than to try to dredge it up 15 years from now and think, when was that and when did I do that? I know I did it, but I'm not sure what I did. That it's so much easier to have that ongoing master resume with you all the time.
Some key points for resumes that I've heard from employers, recruiters I deal with on a regular basis. Keep it short. Use bullet format. It's not a story. They're not going to read it. They're going to skim it. They're going to take 10 to 15 seconds, and they're going to put you in the no pile. And it's too easy to put you in the no pile if you don't have some of those keywords that are going to stand out, because potentially they could be going through hundreds of resumes. So you really want to work hard to make sure your resume stands out on not just doing a summary of who you are necessarily, but really being succinct and using those bullet points and those good key action verbs.
Can you make it stand out by not putting it on like white paper or slate paper? Can I make it stand out by using black paper with white print or something like that? Tom shaking his head like, why are you being so stupid to think about that?
If you're going into a really creative field, it might not be a bad idea. But if you're applying to
the
an IBM, forget
me.
It.
Yeah. All right. Is there a benefit to being new to the job market right now as opposed to being that person who's, I mean, one of my very best friends, and people know that I try and go to Las Vegas every year, one of my UVA roommates, 17 years at the same company, laid off in March. And fortunately for him, he's in a position in life where he can take some time to do some things he's always wanted to do, etc. But is there a benefit to being the new person, whether it's that you can be paid less or more easily trained because you don't have the habits that you've accumulated from the other jobs in your 17 years in the field? Benefits and disadvantages between the two?
Well, I think certainly the benefit of being a young person are the two things that you said. One is you do not cost the company that much. Now, I'll say that with a warning, and that is if you don't stay with the company for more than 18 months or so, they're throwing their money out the window because their most important and most expensive dollar is their training dollar. So if they don't get any return on that training dollar, they might as well have just opened the window and tossed all that money out the window.
And if at some point that's going to hurt you,
yeah,
right? If you're new and you take that job and leave within 18 months, the next person looking at your resume,
it follows you. Yeah.
I mean, even from someone who looks at job applications of a much different career, that stands out. Six mm-hmm. months, 4 months, mm-hmm. 6 months. That you're like, whoa, didn't get along with management. When you see that in all of those, that begins to grow. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. But on the other end of the spectrum is the experienced worker who employers shy away from because of the famous word overqualified, but also the other piece, I'm going to have to pay them more. That's not necessarily true. And I think if you are an experienced worker, the onus is on you to make sure that those two things you alleviate in the employer's mind from the outset. You know, this is something you want to do. This is something that you've made up your mind that it's important to you to do in your career. And if so, then you keep going forward in that direction.
You know, with my wonderful experience in career services, but it seemed like that you mentioned you alleviate that. And it seems as though one of the things that you can do, it would be to say, I understand one of the key things you're thinking is, you know, am I overqualified? But let me prove to you that I can do this. Let's talk about, you know, here and let's talk about 6 months from now kind of thing.
And why you want to do it. Yeah.
Are you putting yourself in a bad position if you say, and obviously I don't think you can do this, but correct me, that you can say, pay me this now, let me show you what I'm worth and pay me this in 6 months? Are you putting yourself in a bad position as a potential employee?
I don't think in this job market you are. Now, any other job market, I mean, in my 36 years, I'd have said probably yes. But now, this job market is so incredibly different from any other that I've experienced. And I think, for instance, if you have a gap in your resume since September, no one's going to ask you why. Everyone assumes why you have a gap in that resume, and everyone understands it, and no one's even asking you to apologize for it. That's never happened before in my lifetime. So there are lots of ways that you can approach this job search in a very creative way in terms of why it is you're making these choices, why it is you've had time to think about what you want to do next, and why it's important that you enhance these particular skills that you haven't had the opportunity to do so lately. That's not a bad reason for going into a job that maybe you seem to be overqualified for, but you're not.
A couple of interesting dilemmas that I'm reading about, and I admit I'm reading about it on Twitter. One is the dumbing down of resumes. Overqualified people feel to be marketable, they have to downplay the experience, so they are competing with the new students coming out of college or the younger applicants to a job, and it's a new dilemma that employers have to deal with. The other dilemma that a number of employers have to try to screen on, which they may not have previously, is this just a Band-Aid for you? Are you desperate for a job, and are we going to put so much energy into hiring you and getting you up to speed because you need a job right now, and
your mortgage payment.
Right. You're going to leave in 6 months. There's no guarantee. No one guarantees that you're going to stay, whether in a good job market or a bad job market. But realize that you as an applicant, you need to help that employer overcome some of those concerns, because those are new issues that recruiters, HR people have to deal with. And if you feel like you're getting questions that are directing you in that area, you've got to be prepared to alleviate and to eliminate those concerns early on.
It goes back to the whole principle that right now in this job market, you have to put the pieces together for the employer. They don't have time to put the pieces together when they're reading resumes or even when they're interviewing you. You have to be putting the pieces together for that employer about why you want that job, why you think you're the best qualified candidate, and why they should hire you.
11:56 here on the Wake Up Call, the last part of the hour with Dr. Carter Hopkins, Director of UVA's Alumni Career Services, Tom Fitch, Assistant Dean at the Commerce Career Services at the McIntyre School at University of Virginia. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Let me give a last-minute shout-out to 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, immediate no-obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4 and the number 5 and the word fix.com. Dr. Carter Hopkins, obviously there's a number of people taking advantage of UVA's alumni services. But regardless of where you are, I would think that there's a number of people listening today who are not University of Virginia alums. First steps to take, if whether you need the job because you don't have one or whether you need that career change for whatever reason, how do you get started? We've been talking all hour about different stuff. How do you get started?
I'm a great believer, obviously, in an objective helper, someone who can walk you through the process and give you some advice in terms of how to proceed through that process. I think probably one of the most isolating, loneliest positions a person can be in a job search. You begin to feel like you're the only person out there who's going through this, and that's not true, and you need to understand and put things in perspective. If you graduate from another institution, if you graduate from a high school that has an alumni association, I would advise that you go back to that institution and ask about networking possibilities. I would go to the local community college if you don't have an office that you otherwise know of and ask them if they can help you with resumes. There are just all kinds of things in your community that can help you, no matter whether you're a UVA alum or not. Of course, I would advise UVA alums to call me. I would love to talk with you about how I can help you. And that telephone number is 434-243-9018.
Tom, as you put people out into the market fresh and ready to go, biggest mistake that you see made that needs to be corrected? And it needs to apply to anyone, not just a McIntyre School graduate.
I think the biggest mistake right now is not being flexible, not being open-minded to the current economy, the current job market, and being so set on what you thought you were going to do when you may have started school, or whether that be undergrad or high school or a graduate program, and not being flexible enough to re-market yourself, reposition yourself so you can ride this out and be ready, but also be... have a positive outlook. I know that's easy for us to sit here and say, but that's the first goal. No employer wants to encounter you coming in with an air of desperation or an air of disappointment about what may have happened in your last job. So be positive, be flexible, be upbeat, and be open-minded.
All right. That winds us down for this hour. By the way, this show will be up on the Seaville podcast.com website, whether you need to listen to it again, whether there's someone out there that you want to make sure hears it for the interesting and valuable tips and conversation that was had today. Tom Fitch, Assistant Dean of Commerce Career Services at the McIntyre School. Dr. Carter Hopkins, Director of UVA's Alumni Career Services. Thank you both for being here today. Valuable stuff. Next week, we'll be talking about green. We're going to have some folks on here about how to reduce your personal carbon footprint, solar panels, putting up the individual wind turbine at your house. Join us. Have a great week.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Report. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.